And that really became a motivating factor to understand that, oh, there are differences in playing level. And if I want to be at the top level, I need to put some effort into this.
Hey team, it's Katie. Are you ready to kick it? Let's go. Welcome to the Kick It with Katie podcast. As always, I'm your host, Katie Colliker, and today's episode is going to feature my interview with Leslie DePaz, and we get to hear her journey through soccer as she progressed into collegiate, and now she is currently a mother and a coach, and so we get to hear about her journey and how she ended up where she is now and the lessons that she learned along the way. It was a really great interview, and I really enjoyed doing it. So thank you, Leslie, for spending that time with me and being able to do that and share your story. Please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon, iHeartRadio, wherever you're listening. If you can rate, review, and subscribe, please do so. It really helps out the show and gets the word out there for more listeners to be able to find the show. And also share, please share an episode you might love. Please just go ahead and share it with somebody and hopefully they can learn to love the podcast too. If you're joining me for the first time today, welcome. So glad for you to be here and listening to the story today with Leslie. We are still finalizing. We're in the final steps of finalizing some of the merch. I know I've mentioned it previously that I've been working on it, but we've almost got everything locked down. And so hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll be able to have some stuff, some merch out there for you guys. And please make sure to find me on Instagram, Kick It With Katie Podcast, _ between all the words, so that you're aware when any giveaways for new merch might be going down, as well as a giveaway for Reed Maltby, his book that is in pre-order right now. It's going to be on sale soon, and so we're going to be doing a giveaway with that as well. So please make sure you follow me on Instagram for that. If you would like to be a guest or you have a question for any guests on future episodes, make sure to send me an email at kickitwithkatiepod@gmail.com. My links are all in the show notes and you could be able to find me, you know, in the show notes. So please make sure if you want to get in contact with me for a future episode or anything like that, you can send me a message through Instagram or through email. But I am really excited to share with you all Leslie's story, and I do have that coming up in just a second, but I just want to say before, when we were recording, I was in a noisy area, and so there is quite a bit of background noise when I am on the air, so I do apologize about that. I tried to reduce it as much as I could, but I also didn't want to interfere with Leslie and her speaking. So I do apologize for the noise on my end. So I just wanted to let you know, I know it's there. Leslie's story was great and you can hear her just fine. So if you do notice, if you're like sitting somewhere and all of a sudden you hear a car drive by, it's probably because of me. So just be prepared for that. Anyway, here is my interview with Leslie DePaz. Hey guys, it's Katie and I am here with Leslie DePaz and we are going to be hearing about her story and her journey. So Leslie, why don't you introduce yourself?
Wonderful. Thank you, Katie. And thank you so much for having me on today. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited to share my journey. It's been a lifetime one, so I'm super excited. So thanks again. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I was born and raised in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I have now come back to Minneapolis to make this my home. But soccer has taken me kind of everywhere, all over, and it's been a really fun ride. So yes, it's just, it's been such a constant part of my life. So let's start that journey. First memory I have, I was 5 years old and my parents signed me up for rec soccer, just down at the like neighborhood park. And I met my best friend. She was my best friend for ages. And we still are in contact today. And one thing, as I was thinking about all of my soccer playing, one common thread that just kept coming up was the relationships. All of the people that I met and passed through my realm and who I'm still in contact with as an adult, that have really shaped my life both on and off the field. So that was a constant thread. Mm-hmm. So as we played rec soccer, we both just loved it and always kept going back. And as we got older, the option to go into a traveling option or team was there, and we took it. And that was my first real remembering or memory of skill and how kids were divided by skill. So all of a sudden I went from just playing with everyone, really fun, to that U8, U10 kind of year. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden there were three divisions. And so we all went and played. I did not understand, or no one explained to me, that it was a tryout. And so I went and I played, and I wasn't placed on the same team as my good friend Leah. And that was heartbreaking to me. And one, as I look back on it, it was more heartbreaking that I wasn't with her as a friend than I didn't have the same skill level as her. So that is my first memory of the division of skill. Mm-hmm. And that really put quite a bit of motivation behind me to be the best that I could be. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be on her team. I was on the level 3 versus the level 1. And that really became a motivating factor to understand that, oh, there are differences in playing level. And if I want to be at the top level, I need to put some effort into this. Mm-hmm. So learning that at a young age, as I reflect as a parent now and I watch my children that are that age, has been interesting to say that such a defining moment, or something that became such a motivating factor in my life, was established really, really young. Mm-hmm. And that memory, I think, continues to guide or continued to guide kind of where I went. As that came full circle and I looked at the collegiate level, I made a conscious choice to play Division III instead of Division I. Let's be clear. I was not recruited for Division I, but I bet if I sought it out, I could have found that programming. But I made it a conscious effort later in my life to choose a different level, or to choose a different kind of realm, because I wanted to pursue other things as well. So that's a full circle moment there, talking about those different divisions. So I went on to continue to play competitively. We traveled quite a bit. I played for Minneapolis United, and then I went over to St. Paul and played with the St. Paul Blackhawks for most of my youth career. And we traveled to many of the tournaments back in the day: Phoenix, San Diego, Kansas City, Naperville, Illinois, and had success and failures along the way. But, you know, the things that I remember most were the friendships and the long car rides and the trips and the defeats and the absolute success. I remember driving home from Kansas City one year after we had played 3 games covered in mud. It was a good long, 5 hours home. And we got home and I still had my shin pads on. I was so tired after 3 games that they just let me, just popped me in the back seat. I fell straight asleep. And I remember getting out and being like, no one took my shin pads off. What? So that exhaustion, but that exhilaration from that exhaustion, all of those feelings, I think, really contributed to some skills and strategies that I used throughout my career as a soccer player, but also just in life. I go back to all of these moments and how they've really helped shape me as a player, but also just as a person, especially now as an adult. Mm-hmm. So I played through high school. High school was great. We're kind of in the middle of the road team, had our failures and our successes. Starting in high school, I started to struggle with shin splints, and that was really frustrating to me. I had a lot of knee pain that went along with that, and we couldn't quite figure it out. So there were a lot of ice baths, a lot of ankle wrappings, a lot of knee braces, just to try to kind of quell that pain. But it didn't stop me. It was just like, oh, you have shin splints. Oh, you have shin splints. But it was a constant. Both my parents were avid runners, and so I also ran from a pretty young age. It was a pretty consistent thing that I was out running. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the push. I enjoyed trying to get faster. I enjoyed all of those pieces that really helped in my soccer realm as well. So high school was a great experience. We didn't win anything, but we sure had a lot of fun. And from there, it really was off to, do you play in college or not? Most of the members of my club team, my traveling team, were on the ODP or Olympic Development Program. I was as well. Many of them were recruited really heavily into the D1 world. One of them even playing on the women's national team. So that was very fun to go and watch her play. Yeah, it was so much fun just to be able to, you know, when they were playing in the right city, we would go and see, and so amazing. And so I really had to decide. I decided to not pursue. I was not recruited by any teams, any D1 teams, but I consciously chose not to seek out those opportunities and really go for a smaller setting where I knew I would play and or most likely play, and just a smaller setting. So I looked at a lot of different schools while I settled on a bunch. One of those campuses came to my high school to do some interviews for early application. And I was really torn because the interview times were during one of our high school games. So I had to decide, do I go to my game? Do I interview for college? Like, that's a huge life choice. And for a 17-year-old, that's telling. Like, what do? You've committed so many years of your life to play. You're a captain on your high school team. You're a senior. What do? So I decided I could do both. And I wore loose dress pants with my shin guards already on and my socks in boots. And I had my sports bra under my dress shirt. And I told my coach I was just going to be 10 minutes late. I was going to go as fast as I could. And I was apparently during the college interview checking my watch repeatedly, unbeknownst to me. And the interviewer said, "Do you have somewhere to be?" I was like, "Oh man, I really messed it up this time." And I was like, no, this is exactly where I want to be. Like, I'm really excited about your school. These are the things I like. And he was like, "No, where do you need to be?" I was like, "Okay, well, so I have a soccer game right now, but these were the only interview times. And so I'm really ready." And I showed him my shin guards, and he thought that was a riot. So it was something that me and the interviewer kind of bonded over. Mm-hmm. And he told me how he played soccer and all of these pieces. So we cut the interview a little bit short. I raced over to my game, and I was a little late, but made it work. So that also told me that even in those formal pieces, just being honest and true and sharing your loves and things you're passionate about can make connections and get you far too. So that's a fun soccer college story.
Yeah.
And I ended up choosing to go to that school. I went to Connecticut College, and when I visited the campus, the selling point was where the soccer field was. It was on their main quad, looking over the water towards Long Island, over Block Island Sound. And I was like, how do you not play here?
Beautiful.
Like,
setting.
Really? Mm-hmm. It was stunning, just beautiful. And it was surrounded by the dorms. And so everyone's hanging out of their windows, cheering the teams on. It was magical, just a really, really cool setting. So that sold me on really wanting to play there and in a D3 program. And it was just fantastic. So that was kind of my transition from high school to the collegiate level in a D3 setting. In college, continued to play and really appreciated getting to go to campus a week early in the fall, meeting people right away, having instant friends. And the first day of tryouts, I was put at center mid and thrown in there with another freshman named Lauren. And we instantly had chemistry. We played off of each other. We instantly figured each other out. And not only were we trying out, it took this one a little more seriously than that original tryout. We succeeded together. She is still my best friend to this day. We lived together throughout college. And we had a really successful time as co-captains our senior year and really had a blast. We never won any tournaments, but our senior year, we did make it to the semifinals and lost in double overtime to Tufts out of Boston. So you know what? It was a good fight and had a lot of fun. But going back to one of my main struggles were those shin splints throughout the whole kind of my high school career and into college. I just continued to have these shin splints. The athletic trainers, oh, we need to ice, we need to stretch, ice, stretch, all of these different pieces. And one day I was sitting watching the men's game, just rubbing out my shins. And a woman next to me who was a dancer said, "Your shin's okay?" And I was like, "No, I've always just struggled with shin splints." She said, "You don't have shin splints. You have athletically induced compartment syndrome." And I was like, "What? And who are you? Yeah. Like, you're a doctor? Like, what is this?" And she said, "No, I just recovered from it and I just had surgery." And I was like, "Oh, well, tell me more." And she started to tell me her symptoms, what she'd struggled through as an athlete and a dancer. And it was absolutely spot on. So I went down to the trainers and I was like, "Hey, what do you think? Like, do you think it's compartment syndrome?" And they were like, "No, you wouldn't be able to walk." And I was like, "Well, sometimes I have foot drop." I was like, "I just like fall, like going upstairs, like my foot doesn't like catch." And they were like, "Oh, well, that is a little weird. Okay." And so I ended up going to a local doctor, and he thought there was definitely enough thought to get a better kind of a different assessment. So I flew back home to Minnesota and went to a sports medicine doctor, and they had me run on a treadmill. And when I thought the pain was substantial, I stopped and they numbed my leg and stuck a pressure monitor in my leg and found out that the pressure in my leg was so extreme that it did warrant surgery. So the fascia, which is like a saran wrap that surrounds your muscles, had gotten so kind of, it had contracted around my muscle and was restricting that muscle from contracting and expanding properly. And that was bringing the pain. It was also cutting off nerve signals to my feet. So it was deemed that I should have surgery. And I did after my junior year, after the junior year season. I went in and had compartment syndrome surgery on both of my front shins. The last thing I remember before surgery, the anesthesiologist said, "So what position do you play?" That's all I remember. And then when I woke up, they were like, "Well, surgery went great and we have good news." And I was like, "Great, like give it to me." And he said, "Well, your legs are so little that we only had to make one incision instead of two."
Oh, nice.
And that was
good news.
That was the good news, that I only had to have one incision on each leg. So that cracked me up. But the recovery from that was long, but I did make it back for my senior year season, pain-free, no shin splints for the first time.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was, it was lovely, but it was also a good lesson to make sure that you're listening to your body. And even though the experts might say, "Oh, it's this," if something continues, to definitely, you know, reach out and ask for help. I didn't. It just happened to be the lady sitting next to me one day that mentioned it. Mm-hmm. So kind of crazy experience. But yes, I was able to finish out my senior year, which was awesome. And that's kind of where, you know, through the formal plane of soccer, my youth soccer journey.
So that's awesome. It sounds like you had a lot of really great experiences meeting friends and meeting people, and not every team can win championships. Like, it's really hard to get up there. For players out there, just because your team doesn't win does not mean that you can't have a great experience, you know, because again, only one team can necessarily take the championship, but you can still have amazing games and great times and make those memories with your teammates and elevate yourself like you did. You know, you made that conscious decision to improve so that you could be on a higher level to be with your friend. You know, even like you said, at such a young age, you learned that lesson and you took it there. So is there any, because I've already kind of heard from mostly the men's side of it, but as far as like the women's side, going from club to college, was there a big like, what were the biggest differences going from club to college for you as far as like training or the physicality of it? What are some things that you can talk about like that you can share?
Great question. And I'm 5'2" and on the smaller side. And so a lot of my play had to be intentional and quick. Otherwise, I was on the ground. I was also one of those players that seemed to just kind of tip over sometimes. So I had to be very conscious to stay on my feet, because then it was like, oh, she's pulling a foul. Like, oh, what are you from the European League? Acting around, rolling around. And so I did have to make a conscious effort to really stay on my feet. Moving to the college level, I was clear that I was on the smaller side, and I was pushed around that freshman year so much. And also, it was just a completely different level of training because we were on campus, we were there. And so it was, you know, everyone's accessible, everyone has a ride to get to morning practice, afternoon training, whatever it might be. And so it did. It became glaringly obvious that some training needed to happen, both strength training along with fitness. We had the track coach did our sprint training, and those were very grueling. And it took a lot of teamwork to encourage each other and a lot of just self-motivation to realize that this is really going to be impactful and worth the time and effort, but also knowing boundaries and being able to understand that you can't push yourself this hard all the time. And I think that's another thing that soccer taught me was boundaries, the ability to understand when something was too far and when it wasn't enough. And that is something else that I think that helped me grow and has helped me into adulthood as well. So going back to training, yes, we did some weights and strength training, which I saw really did make a difference just as I matured and got older as well. I put on some more substantial weight. It definitely helped me in the game. But, you know, I had a friend growing up who was a really good friend to another one of my friends who went on to play professionally. And she was as tiny as I was. And so that was also a motivating factor that I didn't have to be as big or as strong as some of the other players. I just had to make sure that I had the strategies to outplay them in other realms. And so working on, you know, ball control and foot touches and quick feet, and being able to have multiple options every time you got the ball, getting your head up, all of those little playing pieces ended up being more important for me because I was on the smaller side. And as I could have weight trained forever, I would have never caught up to some of these ladies. So that was also a really important piece, was understanding my strengths and understanding my weaknesses and making sure that I was finding other outlets to help me become a stronger player.
Going back to when you were younger in your youth, so you were saying, like, since you were on the smaller side, you had to be more technically skilled. So how often and did you, like, practice those technical skills? Did you train on your own after your own practices so that you could catch up? Or were you only relying on your team setting? Or, you know, were you doing both of them, obviously, outside of the team thing? And then were you, as a younger player, were you focusing on your technical skills necessarily? Or was there anything specific that you were focusing on trying to get better, progress, develop?
I think as I was younger, my fitness was one of the things that really set me apart, because I naturally was a runner and could kind of just keep up with that pace. But as I got older, I hadn't focused as much on the technical piece. And so as, you know, U12 going forward, that is something that became clear that I needed to focus on. I have an older brother who played Division I soccer very competitively. And so I was often used in backyard games and other things as a as a player, but I could never keep up with them. And so those little pieces, I think were my kind of informal technical training, was being, you know, they thought I was little, I was cute. They would try to make me, you know, juggle more or do this more, teach me a new trick, try it out on me 100 times, still couldn't get the ball from them. So that was a motivating factor, just because I was the younger sister. And so I, you know, wanted to kind of prove myself there. Don't know if I ever did, but so I think that informal piece was really what helped me out, was watching my older brother play, watching his teammates and his friends, along with just being included in that. But that did, that was something that was conscious as I got into that, you know, U12, U14 realm, that I did have to work on my technical skill. I don't know if at that age I put together because I was getting pushed around or because I was little, but I do remember that being something that was conscious.
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about basically, you know, training with your older brother and being able to see them at that higher level, would you agree that since soccer is so much more accessible to youth players now, that they should go and watch a college game, even go watch a high school game? If you're on the younger side, going and watching the old, I mean, even if you're a teenager, going and watching a professional game or watching it on TV, just that exposure, there's always hopefully an option at some level in your area to go watch a live game, you know, because they might be a little bit more interested in watching it live and the camaraderie of the fans and everything. You know, it's a total experience. I mean, I have, you know, Real Salt Lake is in my backyard, basically. So we can, you know, go to a game, basically, you know, whenever there is one, we can, you know, unless it's sold out, we can usually get tickets. And so would you agree that for the players now, that they should be watching these, I guess, collegiate professional athletes to watch, you know, speed of play, skill level, and things like that? What are your thoughts?
Yes, on that? Definitely. I would agree completely. And I can remember times growing up, you know, we had a pretty strong soccer presence here in Minnesota. And so I remember going with my team and watching high school games and making that a team event. And yeah, seeing the crowd and people just rallying and cheering and seeing the camaraderie and the teamwork on the field was motivating. But then also our coach would give us something specific to look for that we were working on. Specifically, I remember looking for triangles. How are the players forming triangles so that they have two options for passing? So I think my coaches were pretty deliberate in looking or setting us up for success when we watched games. And so I remember those pieces. But as a parent now, we bring our kids to high school games, to, you know, we're lucky enough to have Minnesota United, the Loons here in Minnesota. And so we get to go to those games. We also have a semi-pro women's team, the Aurora, here in Minnesota that just started. And so watching those games is really motivating. But then I would also bring my girls to my cousin's collegiate games here. And it just, it pumps kids up. It gets them excited. And I didn't have them look for anything specific. We were just there to enjoy the experience. So I think it can be twofold, right? It can be a learning experience for teens to see older people, to see all the aspects of the game. So I would really encourage that. But then, you know, I think, you know, bringing kids to anything is really important. We brought my, I brought my three kids to a middle school play, the matinee. And afterwards, the first thing out of my older daughter's mouth was, "Can we go to the 6 o'clock show?" It's like, no, we're not coming back in 3 hours. So, I mean, yes, I think exposure to, yeah, to anything really heightens live, really heightens that sense of understanding and pull to be involved.
Yeah. And good memories. I mentioned in my episode that I shared, you know, we didn't have a soccer team in the area really. And so we went to, for rec, we went and watched a hockey game because it was supposed to be similar. And so we went and watched the Grizzlies or whatever they're called. So That's what we got to do with our rec soccer experience, which now when I think back on it, I'm like, oh, that's kind of hilarious. But, you know, yeah. It was a fun, I mean, it's mm-hmm. something I still remember. So, I mean, it's definitely yes. on there. So,
One thing I forgot, as you talked about teams, being here in Minnesota, we have the USA Cup. So it's a pretty big international soccer tournament that we grew up just having in our backyard. Mm-hmm. But as I was thinking about like watching other teams, and then my husband loves soccer. And so he watches soccer on the weekends a lot, the European leagues and such forth. And mm-hmm. my girls love watching that with him. And it's a little bonding point. But as I think about the international realm, mm-hmm. You know, soccer gave me the opportunity to interact with people from all over. We would host teams from not only around the country that came for the USA Cup, but internationally from Sweden, from Japan, from Germany. And then my brother had the opportunity to go play internationally and be hosted by the same team mm-hmm. over in Sweden and in Russia. And so just crazy experiences and exposure to people from all over the world. And it's a really connecting sport and thing. And as I've traveled after graduating, you know, I lived in San Diego for a year. And the first thing I did was find a soccer team. And then I took a job down in Mexico City. And the first thing I did was find somewhere to play because I had instant friends and I was instantly invited into a community. Keeping that as a lifelong sport has allowed me to not only maintain fitness as I get older, but to really mm-hmm. make connections with people and stay connected.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. The things that you can bond over from those sports. I mean, we took a team to Spain for a week, and the people that ran the program are our two main contacts. I still keep in contact with them and watch their journey. They live in, right now they're currently living in Hong Kong, and you know, it's so crazy to see just the bonds and the international aspect of it. In that USA Cup, I'm pretty sure that's the same tournament that one of the assistant coaches, actually Tanner Sands, he was, I think, my episode 2, his family was from Minnesota, and his dad was one of the assistant coaches for his team, and he would always be like, we need to go to this tournament. Anyway, we could usually never necessarily make it work or whatever, and this last year, my oldest son's coach, we were trying to see if we could end up going there because they had a USA mm-hmm. Cup qualifier and it was held in Salt Lake. And I think the boys won it if we did it. I'm trying to remember. I don't know. They did so many tournaments back to back that it was like, which weekend we're going to this tournament, and they're all held like at the same big complex usually. And so it's like, okay, we're here every weekend. Which tournament are we here for this week? But anyway, I'm trying to remember if we did that tournament, and I don't know whether or not they did it, but they were like, if we win it, then we could maybe go to Minnesota for the USA thing. But I still don't remember if they did it. Literally, like, we did like 20 tournaments last summer between all my kids, and I'm like, I can't remember. But yeah, that's the one that this dad always wanted us to go to, so he could also go back to Minnesota too. But he would always talk about how awesome it was, and he's like, it's, you know, telling us all about the setup,
we played it every year just because it was in our backyard. But mm-hmm. of all the tournaments I've gone to throughout the years, so many tournaments, it is the grandest and the craziest. I mean, the opening ceremonies is like an hour long, and all the teams, when I was younger, this is how it was. All the teams had a flag, and you would parade in and sit on the infield of mm-hmm. the Metrodome, which is the old stadium here in Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
And you would all have like mm-hmm. your jersey on, and they would sit you. I mean, it was like the Olympics. It was crazy. And they had all of these activities. They had like, you know, a pin trading time, and it was crazy. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. I haven't been there for a couple of years, but or a long time, I guess. But yeah, it was a really fun tournament.
Awesome. Anything else that you want to add or any advice that you want to give
out? Sure. I guess I didn't talk about my kind of transition into coaching as a parent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I have three daughters, and two of them absolutely love soccer. And really have embraced it. They seem to excel naturally. They're twins, and so it's been interesting to watch them play with each other. There's a little bit of intuition there between the two of them.
I have twins too, so.
Oh my gosh!
But mine are seven. Mine are seven, so I don't know how old yours are.
Mine are also seven.
Oh, fun! And
it's crazy how well they play together. They are, yes. So that's been really fun to watch. Just their progression. Their older sister is a little bit more forced to play soccer. And this last year, she really found the joy in it, especially the team aspect. So that's been really fun to watch. I didn't know how I would do as a coach because I wasn't sure how I would really support all players. But the first day as a coach, I loved it, fell in love with it. And really saw how much impact I could have on the self-confidence and just the love of the game for kids. So that's been a really neat kind of progression or extension of my soccer playing years.
And do you coach all your daughters or? Okay. Yeah, I coach my oldest daughter who's she's third in line out of my five. I have two boys, then her, and then my twins. But so I coach her team and I help with my twins team, but I also help with my second son's team as an assistant. So I've kind of been dabbling, but it is interesting because I, like you, also thought like, I don't want to focus just on her. I need to help everybody. And now it's like, as a coach, you want to help the girls, the players, love the game and develop. And so it's really, I found it very overwhelming, especially when I first started coaching, I was team coaching with another coach. But then the next year I went solo and it was, I just felt these overwhelming emotions where I was like, how am I going to help these girls? Like, I want to be an impact in their lives. Cause like, I know my coaches left a lasting impact on me. And so I, you know, need to be that for them. And it's really hard to throw yourself into that role model position. But it does, it brings you great joy in being able to see them progress and develop and love the, you know, learn to love the game and that's fun. That's awesome.
Yes, I completely agree. This last season we lost our first game and it was just like heartbreak. And so it was that opportunity of with my older daughter to talk about disappointment and how we're gonna, you know, work harder and work together and understand that disappointment happens. But then our next game, you know, we won. And then by the end of the season, we were winning like 10-0. And I had to go back to like, you know, how do you navigate that? Like, how do you navigate that as a coach saying like, look at you, like, look at how far you've come. This is amazing. But also we're going to work on some other things. We're going to work on, you know, you have to pass three times before you shoot, but then keeping it also maintaining the integrity of the other team and players. And that's something that has been something for me to strive to get better at and understand how to shape their little minds, but also, you know, state that this is competition. So you're right. We are winning and well done. Yeah. You've come so far.
It's hard to tell young kids not to score. Mm-hmm. It's definitely very difficult to try and coach them and get them to understand that it's, you know, especially at younger ages, it's really hard to do that. So it is difficult. I understand.
Especially when the tides are turned and a team is beating you significantly and you hear their coach just continuously yell, score, score. And you're like, really? Like, really? Is that necessary? Yeah. But maybe it is. I don't have the right answer. Because, you know, maybe it is. Maybe they should learn to simply continue to score. I don't know. I don't have the right answer for that. But learning that and then also managing parents' expectations has been something that I'm still growing in, I guess, as a coach. And so, yeah, that's definitely been an interesting journey. But I really enjoyed it, despite my hesitation at the start.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely difficult to manage all the aspects of it, you know, while maintaining everything else in your life as well, you know, because sometimes I personally get overwhelmed with my coaching, and I have to think, okay, it's not my full-time job. I have other responsibilities, but it's like, literally I'll be sitting at my actual job, you know, my other job, and I'll literally just be thinking about coaching while I'm working. So I definitely get it, you know, cause it's especially when you love it so much, you know, and you want them to do so well, and you know, your passion is there and things like that. Anything else that you want to add?
I don't know. I think, yeah, my overall pieces are, you know, soccer just brings a wonderful plethora of opportunities, friendships, life skills, the highs, the lows, the managing disappointments, celebrating those successes. It can be played anywhere, pretty much any time. And yeah, it's just a wonderful life experience.
Well, awesome. Thank you, Leslie, so much. Yeah. So happy to have you on.
Thanks.
So thank you so much for the interview.
Yeah, wonderful.
Thank you so much, Leslie, for your interview. I loved being able to get to know you and hear more about your story and your journey and the lessons that you learned as you progress through sports and just through life, and how you're starting to pass that on, especially now that you've been starting out coaching. So good luck, you know, as a fellow coach. I feel you. So hopefully we can touch base in the future and see how things are going, because it was a great conversation. And just thank you so much. So it was awesome to be able to get to talk to you. And again, please make sure rate, review, subscribe for the episode wherever you're listening, just so that the podcast can get out there. If you enjoyed today's episode and Leslie's story, please make sure to share it, whether it's on social media. I have tiles and tags for all the new episodes. So if you want to share that episode and the link, please make sure to tag me so that I know that you're doing it and I can give you a high five. Again, if you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, or if you have any questions, just need to get in contact with me about anything, my email is kickitwithkatiepod@gmail.com. Link is in the show notes, as well as on Instagram, kickitwithkatiepodcast_ between all the words. But you guys, it's been a joy being able to get this started and get it rolling, and I'm really excited where we're going with this. So please make sure to keep it up there and keep talking. So thank you guys for kicking it with me. Have a great day. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at kickitwithkatiepodcast_ between all the words. You can reach out to me with questions at kickitwithkatiepod@gmail.com. I also have a feature with SpeakPipe where you can leave me your own voicemail message if you want to be featured on the podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.